Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Hello. Welcome to Ask Ada Marie, the Golden Oracle. And today we are talking about how to meet your spirit guides. You know, the Golden Oracle grew up with angels. Unlike most Americans, she had two seers, her great-grandmother and her grandmother, as mentors. They taught her how to work with her angel guides, and their loving guidance has really saved her throughout her life. According to Ada Marie, we all have angel guides, ready and willing to help whenever we need them. So, Ada Marie, tell us about it.
Well, I'll be happy to tell you about it, because it's only in the silence can you communicate. And you can't... In fact, today I was meditating for some important points on being able to be aware of your spirit guides. And one of the biggest secrets is that you do not discuss your spirit guides with any other people. They are your personal, absolutely very personal assistance, and they are not happy when you share their information for yourself from them to others, because this is a very personal thing that they have come to you and they are going to help you. And what happens when you share it to other people, they very often don't believe, correct? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They do not believe that this is possible. So
yeah,
they'll
poo-poo anything, won't they?
They will. So the thing is that once you have contacted them, they are your personal friends. They do not belong to me or anybody else. They come to you and they commune with you, and they, when you're anxious or nervous or something, they'll be there to calm you and help you understand what you're doing or going through. So please be honorable to them and hold them as the most sacred energy that you can have. And you will be amazed at all the wonderful things that will come to you. Example, you know, this morning I had to go into town, and it's a distance for us. It's like 30 miles. So I got ready, I did my prayer, I got in the car, and I left to go to town. And the voice said to me, stop. Stop at the junction. That's all it said. So when I got to the junction, everything was fine. The road was fine. There was no problems. I got to the junction. I pulled off at the junction, and I sat there, and I watched. And I'm going to tell you, it was awesome to see what happened. As a junction is a curve, and there's a 90-degree curve to go onto another highway, and then there's a regular curve to go onto 77. And I had come off of 77. I parked at the junction, and sure enough, after about 7 or 8 minutes, I heard this horrendous noise, and I couldn't figure out what it was. But here was a motorcycle that had accidentally got hit and hooked onto the back of a pickup and was being drugged. And the guy did not hear. But then, everybody was out there waving at him, stop, 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 and he stopped. And but I would have been right in the middle of that. Right in the very middle of that, because I was the first one. I was the first one in the line to go down that way. So the guy that went down after me, he's the guy that got hit, and he's the guy that got drug.
Oh, really? The motorcycle was behind you and went ahead of you?
Yeah, it went around me and went ahead.
Oh, my.
So, you see, you can't...
Wow.
You have to listen. You have to listen and honor whatever voice or energy or feeling or knowing that you pick up. They're all the same thing, a seeing, a knowing, a feeling, a voice. It's all the same thing. When it says stop, in the name of heaven, folks, stop right there. Believe
well,
me.
Well, suppose you don't know that your guardian angel. I mean, or how do you first contact them?
Well, the first contact is usually made when you're younger, and you'll have these experiences, and people will poo-poo them and say they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
But as you get away from people on your own, and you learn when you get a hunch, a feeling, and you act on it,
mm-hmm.
everything turns out right, absolutely okay. So when you're alone, not around friends who don't believe or don't want to admit that there might be other help, you can have experiences that let you have help and let you realize that, yes, if you call on help, you will get it. You will absolutely get it because they are
uh-huh.
there. And although you are not personally aware of them, they're very much aware of you. And if you become aware enough to be able to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, I am extremely grateful for your assistance, it won't be long when you give those thanks and gratitude that the angels will make themselves known to you in some manner or form. In
mm.
other words, you may be turning out of your driveway and they may say, wait. You may be in a parking lot and you're parked. And
mm-hmm.
you're not going to go anywhere for a little bit, but you may be told to move. In other words,
uh-huh.
get in your car and move it to a different parking lot. And I know lots of people that have had that request and followed it and were very grateful. So you don't know. It's okay. If you were sitting on a cloud and you could see over the area, you would know what is going on and what's going to happen, but we're not sitting on a cloud. We're on
okay.
the earth, solid. So
mm-hmm.
we have to trust the voice that comes and assists us in moving or walking around or even purchasing things. Every once in a while, my husband wound up, this is really funny, he went to Harbor Freight because he wanted a compressor, okay? And
mm-hmm.
I saw that compressor, and I thought, he shouldn't buy that. He really shouldn't buy that one. It's not going to work. Well, he never likes to hear what I have to say, so he looked at all of them, and he picked out that one. We come home with it. 2 days later, we had to take it back because it didn't work. He said, why didn't you tell me? I said, because you wouldn't believe me. You wouldn't pay any attention to what I had to say. And it's a long way over there, you know. It's like 45 miles over to Harbor Freight. But we went back, they took it back, and he said, now you pick out one. I did, and it's the one he still got.
I see.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
About 5 years ago.
Okay. Good
so,
enough.
Yeah, see, what I'm saying is if you feel like when he was looking at him, he didn't look at one and have a feeling about it. They all looked
uh-huh.
alike, so he just took one. He didn't even go along and be still and wait to see which one was a good one for him.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you have to do. You have to be silent inside of you and wait for an answer. And that being silent inside is hard on a lot of people. They just don't understand it. And they have a hard time doing it.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
That is for sure. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Many people just do have a hard time being silent and listening.
Well, they think it's their idea. They don't realize that it's
uh-huh.
being sent to them. See,
uh-huh.
it's being sent to them, but it's coming through their mental consciousness. So they think it's their idea. Amen. It's
uh-huh.
not. It's their saving grace, I call it.
I see. Okay.
See, if you are doing, okay, we were going into town, and we were going to turn on a certain road because it was a shortcut, and we were almost there, and I said, don't do that, and he didn't. And on the way home, we could see how lucky we were that we hadn't gone that way, because there was all kinds of problems right at that junction, and we missed mm-hmm. them all. And they came after we went through the junction. And we didn't turn to the right. We went straight ahead toward town.
I see.
You see, if you feel mm-hmm. that it's something's wrong, by all means, stay out of danger's way and mm-hmm. go straight ahead. And you may feel it and be aware of it, not aware that there's an angel sitting on your car and directing you. And very often there is.
I am so fascinated and wondering how your grandmother and your great-grandmother taught you.
Well, let me tell you, this is what used to happen. We didn't have cars in those days. I'm born before cars. And we didn't. We had a horse and buggy and a wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't have those things. But the difference was when you have horses, they're real. And if you don't know how to handle them correctly and treat them correctly, you can have a lot of trouble. So as a child, when we were taught to ride, my dad took us out. He introduced us to the horse. He set us in the saddle because we were too little, and he patted the horse's neck, and he had us pat the horse's neck and talk to the mm-hmm. horse and tell Sandy we really liked him and he was a wonderful horse and Daddy was going to give us a ride. And then Dad would take the reins and he would walk around the yard, you know. And mm-hmm. in other words, it was a communication with the horse, just like with a person. And he always taught us to be mindful of animals because they had more smarts than we did. And if we ever got caught out in the rain in a storm, give the horse his head and he would take us to safety. Well, what that meant was you wrapped the reins around the saddle horn, laid your head down on his neck, and then just let the horse do what he's going to do. And believe it or not, that horse will turn around and take you home.
Mm-hmm.
No matter whether you think you're going home or not, that horse, it's happened to me so many times. People think it's crazy, but it's not. Because that horse has an inner thing inside of him that takes him where he knows he's going to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And how did your grandmother teach you?
Well, how she taught us was, okay, if we were doing something and it wasn't right, she'd say, stop, go sit down. If it's not turning out, there's a better way, so go sit down and think about nothing until a better way comes to you, and a better way will come. You may only sit 5 minutes and you go, oh my gosh, I should have did this. Or you may set a half hour before you get that energy to go do something different. But it will come. If people would just do it, they would save themselves tons of money and time and energy just because they had the knowing to sit quietly and let the energy come. And somebody said, well, I got to do this because I have to be there by such and such a time. I said, you're not going to get there at all. If you just go flying out of here, sit down, and be still.
Uh-huh.
And wait until the voice allows you to go forward. And it's true. Maybe you should have been there an hour before, but maybe in the meantime, the distance you were traveling was going to have an accident, and you weren't going to get there anyway. So why not just mm-hmm. sit and wait? You know, and I don't mean waste time. I mean, if you get that kind of a message, pay attention to it. And in today's world, there are so many cars, so many bicycles, so many tricycles, so much stuff on the road, that if you get a message to avoid a particular area, by all means, do that.
Uh-huh. Well, in New York City, we a lot of times we don't drive very much, you know.
Right.
But I've know quite often. I've known people who just charge in, like my grandmother used to say, like a bull in a china shop.
Right.
Just plow through and try to force things, and they wind up having to do it all over anyway.
Right, right, they do. And my dad said, remember, when a bull's in the china closet, there isn't going to be any china left. Meaning you were going to defeat yourself
by
charging
absolutely.
Around like that.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So then, sitting and waiting for an answer, is there any way that, suppose you have a special question that you're not sure what to do, how do you go about contacting your spirit guides for that?
Let me explain that. You don't sit around and wait. What you do is you go about doing the things you know you can do, and getting the things, as many things done through the day that you can do. And then in the process of doing that, the answer usually comes to you. In other words, you don't just sit down and wait, because that's useless. You're accomplishing nothing. But say, okay, I'll give you an example. We got a new stove. And it's one of these things where you press a button and, the electricity comes on and you see the thing burner open up. And you have so many minutes to, it comes on high and then you turn it down to maybe 25 because that's enough for what you're going to do. And then you don't leave it there all that time. You shut it off because it's going to stay hot. And most people know this, that an electric stove will stay hot for even up to 60 minutes after you turn it off. So if you start something and it comes to a boil and you turn it off, it's very likely going to cook what you want within the hour. That makes sense. Cuts electricity. You don't burn the pot. You don't burn the skillet. Everything cooks just fine. But you have to be aware that you're not using a gas stove, which when you shut it off, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually using a more efficient piece of equipment by having a electric stove, and when everything boils, you turn the electric stove off, but the electricity takes time and cooks the rest of it. That makes sense, right?
Well, what does that have to do with spirit guides?
Well,
are you confused? All over the place here.
Okay. No, we're not all over the place. That's where I'm coming to. If you are a young person learning to cook and you are trying to understand the stove, be aware that you are not alone in that process. That, okay, here is a stove, and you turn it on, and it comes on full, right? It doesn't
mm-hmm.
want to be full because that's not what you want to do. So in your consciousness, you simply have to say, okay, I need help to get the right temperature here. And the little guide that you have will tell you, we're going to turn it down to 20 or 15 or whatever you're going to do. And you do that, and everything works fine. But if you linger and don't make the actions that it takes to make it right, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to burn something, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Now, being aware is available to every single living person. I don't care if it's a 2-year-old child or a 110-year-old person. You have an awareness within you about something. And it has to be that everybody you know has gone down the road or through a building and said, oh, I'm not going there. I'm going to go to the next place. And haven't we all had that?
I think so.
I think so, too. And if you follow that intuition, you're always going to be safe because you're going to a place where whatever it is you want to do is going to be available to you with a lot less hassle.
Yeah, but some people are very stubborn and they go ahead push through.
And
then
the
what happens?
Well, they pay the consequence. There's a consequence for doing something that the universe don't want you to do. And it's usually not very pleasant. So, okay, we go to a very nice place for dinner about once a month. And it is a little bitty village here. And this is probably the nicest place in the village. And we go there like once a month and we have dinner. And when we go there, we always go around 4 o'clock because it opens at 3 o'clock. We go around 4 o'clock. And we sit down, we have a very nice dinner. Well, by 6:30 and 7, it's beginning to fill up. I mean, you know, that's when everybody goes to dinner. But we don't do that because we like the peace and quiet. And the service is wonderful and the food is fabulous. And the waitresses are nice and the owners are nice. And we can eat with maybe just a couple other people in the restaurant eating. And it's peaceful. It's wonderful. And somebody said to me, why do you go there? It's so noisy. I said, well, I'm sure you go around 7 o'clock. And I'm sure it is because it's an Italian restaurant and those people talk loud. And we like their food, but we don't want to be in the middle of that crowd. So we go around 3:30 or 4:30. And it's peaceful and it's beautiful. And you can look out the window and see the whole landscape, the sunset and everything. It's there. So it depends on your thinking, I think. You don't have to eat at 7 o'clock at night. No law says that I know of. And you don't have to eat at 4 in the afternoon either. I mean, there's no law that says that. So it's up to you. If you want peace and quiet, go at a time when it's wonderful and quiet. And
so you think about what you're going to do. You think about what you want, and then the guidance kind of comes in. But how do you know if you've never experienced it? How does someone
because you've never done it? Okay, here was a class I taught. Everybody had to be aware of their decisions, what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do it, even to the point of taking a class someplace. Well, when they stop to think of the pros and cons, and you have to do that, of what that's going to entail, how much of your time it's going to take, how far you have to drive, the things that you have to put together to have that experience, do they fit you? Do they really work for you? If they don't, you're doing the wrong thing, right?
Okay.
A real good example is I'm a baker and a cook, and I very often will call and say, "We're 3 o'clock is coffee time at this house, so we're having apple cake today. I made an apple cake." And some of them love the apple cake, so they'll come if they can. Some of them, you know, never had it, so they have to try. But then maybe the next time I offer, I'll say, well, I've got apple pie. Anybody who's interested in apple pie, coffee is at 3 o'clock, and then we'll see how many people come. And a lot of people come for apple pie and cherry pie. But now that I've made this apple cake about 2.5 years, if I say apple cake, I don't have to say anything else. They're here. And they'll come.
That's
interesting. Because they know that apple cake is precious and beautiful and lovely. It's a bunnet cake, so it serves a lot of people. But see, it's like finding where things belong and then working with that. Don't do it because you want it done. Do it because it fits your group or yourself or your husband, the children, And then you have joy in doing it. That's the secret, having joy in doing it.
It sounds like it's just the opposite of forcing things to happen. Just
right,
because
you don't force it. You have joy in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody came, this is funny, they had shot a bunch of birds, and they came with these 16 birds. And I said to the man, you get out there in the back and you clean the feathers off of those birds and you clean those birds. Then you bring them back in here. And then I will clean them in my way with the sink and everything that it takes to do. And I will cook them for you. But I'm not going to pick the feathers off of them. So they went out, and these two guys, hilarious as it is, they spent about 2.5 hours picking all the feathers off of these chickens. And they brought them in, and I said, you're not done. You didn't take the pins. The chickens have pin feathers, you know, and those pin feathers have to be picked out. So I sent them back out again. So it was just about dark when they came back in, and they had pinned it. All the pins were gone. And it takes a while. You don't cook a chicken in 20 minutes, you know. It takes about an hour to these little chickens to stick them in the oven and cook them. So I said, okay, we're not going to eat until 7:30. I said, but in the meantime, I'll make some hors d'oeuvres, and you can have hors d'oeuvres, and we'll have the chickens when they get ready, and we'll have some mashed potatoes to go with them. So after all the hors d'oeuvres that they ate, and I don't know how they ever ate a bite of chicken, they just ate and ate and ate, they sit down. You know they polished off every one of those 15 chickens, five guys.
What? Oh, my goodness. Well, you have lost me because I can't figure out how spirit guides had anything to do with this.
Well, I'll tell you how they did. I had a warning in the morning that I was going to have unwanted company. You know, like people were coming and I didn't know who they were. So I said, okay, I'll be prepared. Well, nobody came. 3 o'clock, here come these two guys. And they said, we shot some chickens, but the scenario of taking care of the chickens changed the energy of the pattern. That's what I'm trying to point out here. I had no idea that I was going to be frying chickens. I mean, somebody was going to ask for something, but you know what it takes to fry chickens. I mean, it's a lot of work. So when
I thought they were birds.
Pardon?
Yeah, I thought you said they were birds.
They are birds, but I call all birds are chickens. These things were small pheasants. They were pheasants.
Oh, okay. I see.
That's a kind of a chicken. I mean, it's a bird.
I see, yeah.
Yeah. So,
a little bit of a gamey kind of chicken. In other words, your spirit guides warned you in advance.
Yeah, they did. When I got up in the morning, they said, you know, you're going to be cooking chicken tonight. And I said, you got to be kidding. We don't even have any. And they just kind of went away. Well, at 3 o'clock, yes, I had 18 chickens. 18. And it took my whole entire oven to bake them.
I would imagine it would.
Yeah, I did. And then I, to go with it, I cooked a whole bunch of, I used broccoli, cauliflower, asparagus.
Wait a minute. We just need, we're almost at the end now. And I'm wondering if there isn't something that you would like to tell people about contacting their spirit guides and building the kind of open dialogue you have.
Okay, well, in order to do that, you have to be willing to make a change in how you think about your own life. I mean, you got to change your life thinking that if the spirit guide comes and gives you an omen like they did about the chickens, then you have to be aware that something throughout your day, that's going to come to pass. It's no different when you're sitting here and we're talking, and all of a sudden I get a sending that somebody has passed away, when I get off the phone, I will check the people I know that could be passing and see if any of them had passed, and very likely one of them had. Anything you do, I don't care what you do, you get an idea, you get a sending, you get a feeling, you get a knowing, I don't know how many different ways I can say it, that something has happened and you can zero in on it and be aware before it hits you in the face.
Okay, I think I'm beginning to understand that from your end, it's important for you to be able to respond to what they send to you, to listen and to act upon it. Is that right?
That's correct, because it wouldn't be sent to you if you weren't supposed to act on it.
Okay.
In other words, you wouldn't get that energy. It might be a week ahead of time, and then you go, oh, my goodness, you know, but you become aware without knowing why you're aware.
Okay.
You get that part?
Yes. Now it's beginning to make sense. Broccoli was confusing me.
Well, because, you know, I was trying to show you what came to my mind when I got that sending, but you don't need to know that. What you need to know is when you get the sending, you have to act accordingly and be aware that something is going to come by that is unusual for the day.
Got it.
It's not an ordinary thing. Yeah. It's
so
not something
if
you do
every
day.
One thing that you could tell people about spirit guides and learning to work with them, what would that be?
Well, I think the most important thing is if you all have them, and if you have an energy comes into your head that is totally in left field from what you are doing, write it down. Then you know for sure your spirit guide will guide you through it one way or another. They will make you go through it and get the lesson from it with the least amount of heartache.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank
and
you so
important.
Much, Ada Marie, and mm-hmm. Now we have to end right now with love and light, as we usually do.
And remember that every one of you are very, very special, and happy Mother's Day to everyone listening, because it's a special day for you, and really enjoy it. If you don't do anything but sit in a chair and be happy that you're healthy and in good spirits. Be happy. It's Mother's Day time to honor yourself as an individual who has raised a family.
Okay. And, you know, there are many different ways of being a mother.
Yes.
You can be a mother to ideas. You can be a mother to strangers who need you for just a moment. You can... The mothering is...
The mothering
very
instinct goes spreads
sacred,
a
sacred,
long
and
way.
Very special.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well,
yes.
Love and light, everybody. Thank you so much,
yes.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.
We'll be looking forward. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.